Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 80 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Ellen Barnett.
And I'm Sean Delaney.
You know, we have projected to be around 1,200, and today we're just short of 1,400.
Jason Bentley, MSU's Vice President for Student Success, says the school's declining enrollment has taken a turn for the positive.
A federal judge has scrapped most of one of Kentucky's ethics laws.
And Kentuckians in the eastern part of the state should be aware of several bridge renovation projects in the area.
In sports, the Cincinnati Reds look to continue their hot streak as they face the Dodgers tonight in Los Angeles.
Bud Luke has the stocks.
Clear skies tonight with lows of around 58 degrees. We'll have a complete check of that forecast coming up after this news.
A former Louisa Bank president will be sentenced July 14th after entering an Alford plea today to a charge of distributing pornography. According to WSAZ, prosecutors have recommended that Edgar Purdom serve at least a year in prison. An Alford plea does not require an admission of guilt, but an acceptance of the penalty. Purdom was found guilty on multiple charges related to child pornography in November of 2014 and sentenced to 15 years behind bars, but a Kentucky appeals court overturned the conviction.
A Fleming County man is pleading not guilty to charges of assaulting his wife. According to the Maysville Ledger-Independent, Dale Duncan appeared in Fleming County Circuit Court to plead not guilty to charges of first-degree assault, violation of an emergency protective order, and first-degree stalking. He's accused of stabbing his wife, Dana Duncan, on April 7th, a few weeks after she left with the children and filed an emergency protective order. Dana Duncan was taken to the University of Kentucky Medical Center, where she was treated for her injuries. Dale Duncan remains in the Mason County Detention Center.
Kentucky's highest court is considering whether new DNA evidence is enough to order a new trial for two men convicted of killing a woman as part of a satanic ritual 25 years ago. Suzanne Duvall reports.
Kentucky Supreme Court justices heard arguments Thursday in the case of Jeffrey Clark and Gar Hardin. Both men were convicted for the 1992 murder of Rhonda Sue Warford. A judge has since released them from prison and ordered a new trial. At the time, prosecutors relied partly on a hair found on Warford's pants they said was similar to Hardin's hair. The science they used has since been discredited, and a new DNA analysis shows the hair is not from Hardin. Assistant Attorney General Perry Ryan downplayed the hair's significance, saying prosecutors relied more on other evidence. I'm Suzanne Duvall.
WYMT is reporting a McGoffin County 911 dispatcher has found herself on the other side of the law. Kentucky State Police arrested Ramona Conley Wednesday evening. She is charged with official misconduct after authorities say she knowingly reported false information. Officer Joshua Pease is with the Salyersville Police Department.
I mean, if they got somebody that's a convicted felon, you know, that could have a handgun, I need to know that. No, I've got a wife, I've got kids, you know, I want to go home at the end of the night.
Salyersville police say they called Conley to have her run a check on a driver's license. She reported back saying the license was valid, but the driver told officers it was not. Further investigation revealed the driver was Conley's cousin.
After a steady decline for the past few years, it appears enrollment at Moorhead State University is on the rise again. Jason Bentley is MSU's Vice President for Student Success. Bentley reports that applications from potential first-time freshmen are up by about 1,000 over last year at this time. He adds the school already expects around 1,400 of them to show up for classes in August, which would mark an increase of 200 from last fall.
The majority of students are from the Commonwealth of Kentucky. We have gained market awareness and kind of brand recognition among students in counties that historically have not had students attend Moorhead State. So we've grown our enrollment in terms of applications and admissions and deposits from both in-state and out-of-state.
Bentley says MSU is also expecting an increase in international students. He adds at this point the number of transfer students the university might get is unknown, since many transfers don't decide until sometime during the summer to change schools. Moorhead State started the 2016-17 academic year with an enrollment of about 10,700 students.
Among his plans after the Rowan County Detention Center moves into its new facility early next year, Jailer Wes Coldiron wants to increase the number of prisoners participating in its work release program. There are currently 10 doing so right now. However, Cold Iron would like to eventually double that number. He believes for many inmates, taking part in work release program can change their lives.
You know, we pick up garbage around the community, which you'd be surprised the amount of garbage and litter there is on the road till you actually get to looking for it. We go senior citizens' house, a heritage place, once a month and help do food truck. The inmates load food up, carry it out for the elderly to their vehicles. We help at the dog pound. We help at the courthouse, over at the parks. We do a lot of things.
Cold Iron stresses that only low-level offenders that must be approved by the state are allowed to participate in the Rowan Jail's work release program.
The long-awaited audit of the University of Louisville Foundation has finally been released. The 132-page report uncovers uncontrolled spending and poor oversight within the foundation while under the control of former U of L President James Ramsey. Notable highlights from the audit include $52.2 million in lines of credit opened by the foundation with university subsidiaries that are not likely to be able to repay, an aggregate $10.3 million over appraised value on 8 properties, and $4.9 million that the foundation paid in compensation to various U of L athletics officials. Diane Medley is a University of Louisville Foundation chairperson.
The University of Louisville Foundation has made many changes since this process began, and we're committed to continue to make additional changes as things come to light and as we see the need.
The board will take the next couple of weeks to consider if they should take legal action.
The University of Kentucky is raising its tuition and fees. WIMT reports UK's Board of Trustees made the decision at a special meeting yesterday. The increase includes an extra 4% per semester for in-state students and a 6.5% increase for out-of-state students. Provost Tim Tracy says the cost for in-state students will still be on the lower end compared to other universities, and it puts UK in the middle of the pack when it comes to the cost for out-of-state students.
Well, again, an effort by the University of Kentucky to address the issues of affordability and manage tuition increases in the best manner possible.
Correction, that meeting was on Tuesday. The hike in tuition and fees will take effect in the fall semester as part of UK's new budget for the 2017-18 school year.
Most of Kentucky's ethics law regulating contact between legislators and lobbyists has been thrown out by a federal judge. KNN's Suzanne Duvall has more.
U.S. District Judge William Bertelsmann said Kentucky's law banning lawmakers from accepting gifts or anything of value from lobbyists was too vague. He also ruled it was okay for lobbyists to donate to politicians' campaigns and to raise money for them. Attorney General Andy Beshear is disappointed in the ruling.
I think it's a very dangerous decision that opens the door for a significant amount of corruption.
Kentucky's ethics law was put in place in the 90s after several lawmakers were convicted of taking bribes. Republican Senator John Schickel, who brought the lawsuit, calls it a victory for free speech. I'm Suzanne Duvall.
The Kentucky School Boards Association says a provision in Governor Matt Bevin's recent executive order needs clarification. As WUKY's Josh James reports, the group is concerned the order could allow charter school applicants to bypass local school boards.
Under House Bill 520 passed this year, local school boards and the mayors of Lexington and Louisville are listed as the primary authorizers of charter schools. But Bevin's order setting up a charter schools advisory council contains language suggesting the panel can review charter applications and make recommendations to the Kentucky Board of Education. Brad Hughes with the Kentucky School Boards Association says his group wants to make sure the governor isn't creating an end-around for charter applicants.
We want to make certain that the role of the local school board that is set down in law takes place. And we also want to make certain that there's no secondary process for someone to bypass the local board and go to a state panel and ask for approval.
House Bill 520 does send appeals and disputes about charter applications to the State Board of Education. WUKY reached out to the governor's office for comment but has not received a response. In Lexington, I'm Josh James reporting.
The Kentucky Transportation Cabinet is performing several bridge projects throughout eastern Kentucky. MSPR's Chaz Jenkins reports.
According to the Grayson Journal-Inquirer, a total of $3.6 million is being invested into those efforts. $1.2 million is going into painting the Kentucky 1274 Bridge in Rowan County and the Kentucky 7 Bridge over the Grayson Lake Dam Spillway. Another $1 million is being spent to replace the Kentucky 474 bridge over Smith Creek at the intersection of Nunn Road. The remaining $1.4 million is being used to complete the replacement of the U.S. 60 bridge near the Stinson community in Carter County. For Morehead State Public Radio News, I'm Chaz Jenkins.
Once his county finally has expanded broadband internet service available, Judge Executive Todd Ruckel believes it will provide it with a major economic development bargaining chip. According to Ruckel, the Saving Our Appalachian Region initiative, which is working to get expanded broadband installed all over eastern Kentucky, is making progress in getting that done in Lewis County.
We've had engineers, in and along with some attorneys doing some work on it here in the courthouse, trying to obtain easements and different things to where they can run the broadband line. So, you know, we hope to, as we don't have anything to do with that at this point, you know, other than, you know, encouraging them to continue on with getting that in here to our community.
However, Ruckel says he can't make a prediction as to when expanded broadband service will be available all over Lewis County.
The chief executive officer of AK Steel is applauding the Trump administration for initiating an investigation into threats to national security from foreign steel imports. Roger Newport and other steel company executives met with President Trump and Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross at the White House recently to discuss the issue. Afterwards, says Newport, the president authorized the probe.
Our company particularly feels the ongoing impact of unfair electrical steel imports flooding our market. We cannot allow our nation's electrical grid, which is a critical part of the nation's infrastructure and vital to our national security interests in the United States, to be dependent on foreign electrical steel.
Newport says that's of special concern in the event of a natural disaster or other crisis. AK Steel has a production mill in Ashland.
The first major renovation of the Catlettsburg-Canova Bridge spanning the Big Sandy River is set to be complete by Monday. MSBR's Jacob Lindberg reports.
According to the Ashland Daily Independent, when contractors finish the $700,000 renovations, normal two-way traffic should resume on the 30-year-old bridge. The bridge, which links Catlettsburg and Canova, West Virginia, was restricted to one lane in April when work began to replace its driving surface with new concrete and replace its expansion joints. The construction will extend the bridge's lifespan and improve driving conditions. Workers prepared to remove temporary signals and traffic control devices Thursday. Weather permitting, the Catlettsburg-Canova Bridge should fully reopen in the next few days. Reporting for Morehead State Public Radio News, I'm Jacob Lindberg.
Congressman Andy Barr claims his Financial Choice Act will bring regulatory relief to the financial services industry and promote economic growth in central and eastern Kentucky communities. The Lexington Republican says the bill overhauls the Dodd-Frank Act, which he claims chokes off access to capital for small businesses and individuals.
The Financial Choice Act provides an off-ramp, much-needed relief to Dodd-Frank's growth-crushing regulations. Financial institutions like community banks and credit unions will have the choice to stay under the Dodd-Frank regulatory regime or opt for the relief that they are willing to obtain if they meet a 10% simple leverage ratio.
Barr says that's a level which ensures that financial institutions can weather an economic downturn without the help of a taxpayer bailout.
Kentucky Congressman James Comer says more than 30 states have passed laws to permit industrial hemp for research or commercial purposes. However, the Monroe County Republican says now they need some help from Congress.
I was proud to lead the effort to create a hemp program in Kentucky that has been highly successful with nearly 250 permitted growers and small businesses today. Now we need to take the next step in bringing hemp into the mainstream as a crop. I look forward to continuing to work with my colleagues on both sides of the aisle to advance legislation to make industrial hemp a legal crop for the farmers of Kentucky and across the United States of America.
Comer says industrial hemp is still legal for widespread production because of the Federal Controlled Substances Act, because the Federal Controlled Substances Act does not distinguish it from marijuana.
A survey suggests that Northern Kentucky ranks as having the highest number of smokers in the state. MSPR's Tilden Johnson has more.
According to the Maysville Ledger Independent, the 2017 Community Health Status Survey reports that at 34%, Bracken, Carroll, Gallatin, Owen, and Pendleton counties have the highest percentage of adults that smoke in the greater Cincinnati and Northern Kentucky region. The average for the region is only 23%. That figure nationally as of 2015 was only 18%. The survey also asked if these persons allowed others to smoke in their homes, and in the five counties noted earlier, 35% of the adults did. The health status survey questioned over 4,000 adults in 8 Ohio and 9 Kentucky counties. For MSPR News, I'm Tilden Johnson.
Taking a look at the weather forecast in the MSPR listening area, including the counties of Rowan, Bath, and Carter. Tonight, clear skies, low of around 57 degrees. Saturday and Saturday night, we'll have clear skies, high of around 86 degrees, low of around 64. On Sunday and Sunday night, clear skies with a few afternoon clouds, high of around 88, low of around 66 degrees. On Monday, sunshine and some clouds, high of around 91. Monday night, clear skies, low of around 68. And on Tuesday, partly cloudy skies with a chance of rain at 40%, scattered thunderstorms in the morning, high of around 91 degrees. Currently in Lexington, it's 80 degrees. In Flemingsburg, it's 79 degrees. 81 degrees in Ashland, 78 degrees in Inez, 78 degrees in Winchester, and it's currently 80 degrees on the campus of Morehead State University.
Good afternoon. You're tuned in to Morehead State Public Radio, Mountain Edition. Thanks for joining us this afternoon. On our feature segment this afternoon, a group of retired admirals and generals is releasing a report that argues renewable energy is a key to the United States' international power. The Kentucky News Connection's Mary Sherman reports.
15 retired admirals and generals have signed a report saying the U.S. should protect its national security by taking the lead in advanced and renewable energy. Retired Vice Admiral Lee Gunn is vice chairman of the Military Advisory Board of CNA, a nonprofit research organization. He says the timing's just a coincidence, days after President Donald Trump said he wants the nation to leave the Paris Climate Accord. But Gunn says it's vital for U.S. economic, diplomatic, and military standing to take a leading role in the transition to wind and solar power, or risk letting other countries erode our superpower status.
China is in the first position. The European Union as a bloc is in the second position, and the U.S. has surrendered leadership. I don't think that means for a moment that we have to stay there.
When announcing his decision, one of President Trump's central arguments was that the Paris Agreement weakened U.S. employment and economic strength. But 1,100 companies, including such energy giants as ExxonMobil, have publicly stated they favor staying in the accord. The report says as advanced energy expands in sub-Saharan Africa, South Asia, and other areas, the nation exporting the technology enjoys much greater influence as well as more job growth at home. By comparison, retired Navy captain and lead author Leo Goff says fossil fuel exporters have leverage to bind consuming countries that haven't made the switch.
International tethers that may not be in our best interest. Russia is positioning itself to fill a lot of those needs, as is Iran and others that don't necessarily hold our values.
As Gunn puts it, the U.S. can do a lot for itself by embracing the newer energy technologies.
And it's important that we lead rather than follow. When you're riding in a car, you haven't got much control. But when you're driving, you can determine the direction and the speed.
The CNA's Military Advisory Board is a national security research group often seen as close to high-ranking service leadership. It released the report on Tuesday. Active duty officers tend to shy away from taking political positions, but they sometimes will let retired officers speak for them. This is Mary Sherman, Kentucky News Connection.
The time is 4:49. You're tuned in to Mountain Edition here on Morehead State Public Radio. Sean Delaney has been keeping an eye on our sports. He is up in 30 seconds.
Support for MSPR comes from the Round County Farmers Market, a certified Kentucky Proud Market, open 11 a.m. Wednesdays and Saturdays near the Morehead City Park. The Round County Farmers Market features homegrown fruits and vegetables and assorted canned and baked goods. Farmers Market Nutrition Program, WIC, and senior checks accepted. For more information, call 784-5457. Supporting local farmers, the Round County Farmers Market is Kentucky Proud.
From the cards to Cali. Good afternoon. This is MSPR Sports. I'm Sean Delaney. After a four-game sweep of St. Louis at home, the Cincinnati Reds have a 10-10 game tonight in Los Angeles against the Dodgers. They start their West Coast tour with a 29-30 record. Veteran Joey Votto tells Fox Sports Ohio that it's been fun watching the young guys on Cincinnati's team grow up.
Seeing guys get better, it's really great seeing guys mature into the players they can be. And it's not just the offensive side of the game. You're seeing guys get better defensively. I think collectively we're all trying to get better, and that's an exciting thing.
Votto had four hits, including a homer yesterday, and leading the Reds to a 5-2 win over the Cardinals. Two lefties will pitch tonight in L.A. as the Reds send rookie Amir Garrett to the mound against the Dodgers' Rich Hill. The University of Louisville baseball team topped rival Kentucky 5-2 this afternoon in the first game of the Super Regional Series. The Cards are now 51-10 on the season to the Cats 43-22. Game 2 of the series is tomorrow at noon. The 12th annual Northeastern Kentucky East-West Senior Bowl football game will be held at 7:30 tonight at Jane Stadium in Moorhead. The event features players from the region who were high school seniors during the 2016 season. Organizer Tom Posey says those guys always enjoy taking part in the contest.
They've always played against these guys, and for half of them, they get a chance to play with them on the same side of the ball. And it makes it a real good all-star game when they get to do that. Just to get a chance to play with somebody that they've, you know, have butted heads with since they was peewees. And they get a chance to play at, you know, at Moorhead State University, which is an awesome place to have it.
One player from Rowan County will be appearing tonight, kicker Dylan Atkins. Kentucky football coach Mark Stoops discussed the Wildcats' quarterback situation at this week's kickoff luncheon. Even though last year's number one Steven Johnson didn't play well during the team's spring blue-white game, Stoops told reporters at this week's kickoff luncheon that he's not looking to adjust his depth chart.
No, one game or one practice never going to change the situation. So, we have a lot of time to figure it out. You know, so we feel good about the depth at that position. And you know from covering us that we are much deeper right now than we've been. So we feel good about that.
Also in the mix for the Cats at quarterback are former starter Drew Barker and the up-and-coming Gunnar Hoke. Former UK running back Boom Williams says he's having the time of his life. After going unselected in the April NFL draft, the 5'8", 196-pound Williams was signed by the Cincinnati Bengals and is working to make the club as a free agent.
You know, it's just a blessing to be able to come out here and be able to try to fulfill your dream that you've had since a kid. So, honestly, I've just been taking advantage of every day and taking every moment in and trying to get better every day.
Williams last season led Kentucky with 1,170 yards rushing, averaging nearly 7 yards per carry in the process. He also scored 8 touchdowns. The new boys basketball coach at Fleming County believes he can get the program turned around quickly. Despite their 8-24 finish last season, Chris Stapleton believes the Panthers can win next winter because they have a good mixture of talent.
They have 6 or 7 seniors, so you get that senior leadership. They've got a couple of juniors that can play. There's some sophomores that are going to be able to contribute. So overall, I think it's in good shape. I know last year they had some injuries and all that, but they started clicking at the end of the year when everybody was healthy. So as long as everybody can stay healthy, that'll be the big key for us.
Stapleton, who played his high school ball at Mason County under Kelly Wells, was hired recently at Fleming after spending the last 3 seasons as an assistant coach at Scott High School. And finally on the day, Louisville basketball coach Rick Pitino is making some impressive comparisons regarding his 2017-18 Cardinals and one of his former teams. While he isn't sure of the amount of success his team will have, Pitino says he likes the build of his roster. He spoke with WLW's Terry Miners.
You just never know with the NCAA because it's one game and out. But I haven't had this much athletic talent since 1996 Kentucky. But you know the way it goes. Like, we won the championship in 2013, and we didn't have a lot of athletic talent. This is an extremely athletically talented team that we've got to put together and teach them how to play the game of basketball. And more important, teach them how to be a team.
Louisville will be trying to replace last year's leading scorer in Donovan Mitchell, who entered the NBA draft. That's it for sports. For Moorhead State Public Radio News, I'm Sean Delaney.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Morehead State men's basketball will host the 2017 Preston Spradlin Basketball Camp June 12th through the 14th at MSU's Johnson Arena. Morning and afternoon sessions for boys and girls entering kindergarten through 12th grade. More information at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for MSU Public Radio. U.S. stocks were mixed as a sell-off in technology, which has been the best-performing sector this year, weighed on the markets, although the Dow Industrials did manage a gain of 89.44, finishing at 21,271.97. The S&P 500 was down 2.02 at 2431.77, and the NASDAQ certainly bearing the brunt of the sell-off in technology today, as the NASDAQ was down 113.85 at 6207.92. New York Stock Exchange breadth was 9-5 in favor of winning stocks over losers. Financial stocks received a boost and helped the Dow average today, as bank stocks themselves were very strong. The Spider S&P Bank ETF advanced 2.2%. The NASDAQ Composite hit a record high early today before trading lower. Shares of Apple, Facebook, Amazon, Netflix, and Google parent Alphabet all fell more than 3%. And, of course, all the major averages actually hit record intraday highs earlier in the session as investors shook off a widely unexpected result of the general election in the United Kingdom. Prime Minister Theresa May's Conservative Party lost its parliamentary majority, and, of course, this was certainly not expected in lieu of the polls going into the election. European equities seemingly shrugged off the result. The Financial Times 100 rose just over 1%, while the German DAX advanced 0.8%, and the Pan-European Stock 600 index itself gained about 0.3%. Asian markets were up, with the Nikkei up 0.5%, and Shanghai up 0.25%. Investors also were undeterred by former FBI Director James Comey's testimony yesterday, which some saw as lacking a, quote, smoking gun that could derail Donald Trump's presidency. In the commodities markets, oil was up 0.5%, finishing at $45.89 a barrel. Gold was down 0.75%, finishing at $1,269.90 an ounce. Among Dow stocks, the best performers were Pfizer and J.P. Morgan. The worst performers were Apple and Microsoft. In the S&P 500, the best performers were Kohl's and Helmerich & Payne, and the worst performers were NVIDIA and KLA Tencor. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Global up 46 cents at $67.26, Marathon Petroleum up $1.28 at $54.71, AEP down 10 cents at $71.85, AK Steel down 6 cents at $6.24, CSX down 71 cents at $53.05, and Fifth Third Bank was up 73 cents to finish at $25.06. Reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Taking one last look at the weather forecast in the MSPR listening area, including the counties of Rowan, Bath, and Carter. Tonight, clear skies, low of around 57 degrees. Tomorrow, clear skies, high of around 86, low should dip to around 64 degrees. On Sunday, clear skies with a few afternoon clouds, high of around 88 degrees, low of around 66. On Monday, sunshine and some clouds, high of around 91, low of around 68. On Tuesday, partly cloudy skies with a chance of rain at 40%. Scattered thunderstorms in the morning, high of around 91 degrees. On Tuesday night, 30% chance of rain and isolated thunderstorms in the evening. Clear skies overnight, low of around 69 degrees. Right now, in Lexington, it's 80 degrees. In Flemingsburg, it's 79 degrees. In Ashland, it's 81 degrees. 78 degrees in Inez, 78 degrees in Winchester, and it's 80 degrees on the campus of Morehead State University.
That's it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Chuck Mraz, Dan Conti, Arlo Barnett, Jacob Lindberg, Chaz Jenkins, and Tilden Johnson, from WUKY, Josh James, and from the Kentucky News Network, Will Clark and Suzanne Duvall. This is Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY Morehead, and translator W202BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at wmky.org. For Sean Delaney and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Ellen Barnett for Morehead State Public Radio News. All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5 o'clock.